was planning on speaking to us tonight about just putting on the spiritual armor. Ephesians chapter 6, it speaks about putting on the full armor, the whole armor of God. And just very quickly, just going to touch on just a couple of points. Thanks, Ben. You guys can go sit. And while they're sitting down, if the ushers could pass the offering bags around. And this evening, you have on your heart something that you feel God's leading you to give, then please feel free to give. But please don't give out of necessity or because you think somebody's watching. The only person who's watching is God, and He's only asking you to be obedient to what He's laid on your heart. So if you'll just allow me, I'm literally just in 5 or 10 minutes, very quickly, just want to have one, 2 points that I want to draw across. I'd encourage you tomorrow during the day, or if you can, just download the 4 o'clock sermon, same message, and have an opportunity to share it there. But Ephesians chapter 6, Paul writes to the church in Ephesus and he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, having shod your feet with preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end, with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak." Just one or two things I want to highlight from that whole passage. The first one is, for us as Christians, and welcome Anita, Slakum Yoki Sote, all the way from Thailand, Taiwan, Thai something. Paul writes here and he says, for us as Christians, it's important to understand that in our walk, there comes a place of maturity where we need to step into to be strong. The first verse there, verse 10 says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might." I love how he doesn't say, "Be strong if you happen to feel strong that day. Be strong if everything is going well and everything around you seems okay." He gives an instruction and a directive and he says, I almost want to show I'm not breaking down from the heart that we're trying to say here. He says, whatever circumstance you find yourself in, whatever happens to be happening around you, make a decision and choose to be strong. Not in your own strength, not in your own ability. I love how David, at one stage, everything is just going wrong. They've just gone on this whole mission to go and kill a whole bunch of people because that's what they used to do in those days. And then on the way back, they realize all their children, their wives, all their possessions have been stolen. And then David's like panicking because the people want to kill him. It's weird how that happens. They're looking for someone to blame. So David happens to be the guy. They're blaming him as if he's going to bring the children back when he's dead. So they want to kill him. And David says, just hang on a second. And he goes and strengthens himself in the Lord. He looks away from the problems. He looks away from the circumstances. And he keeps his eyes fixed upon Jesus. And he chooses to say, God, I choose in this situation. I don't know. I know I don't have the strength, God. I know it's not inside of me, but I'm strong in the Lord and the power of His might. And we allow the Holy Spirit to breathe that strength inside of us, which is not natural, it's not of ourselves. But the first thing I just want to just throw out there for us this evening, I'm going to be very quick, is be strong. Make a decision and a choice in our hearts that in following Jesus, I need to be strong. And then he carries on. Sorry, we can go to the just this next slides. And the next one. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. And then carrying on. And he says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. There's a reason we need to be strong. It's not we must be strong so we can be a group of macho men or macho women. He's not saying be strong for the sake of being strong. He's saying be strong because there are wiles of the devil. Another word for wiles is schemes. The strongest translated as it's cunning arts, deceit, craft, trickery. The Oxford Dictionary simply calls it the devious or cunning stratagems employed in manipulating or persuading someone to do what one wants. And just as all good dictionary definitions, you need a dictionary just to be able to understand the dictionary. A stratagem is a plan or a scheme, especially one used to outwit an opponent or achieve an end. If you're going to be following Christ, you must understand that there are going to be devious or cunning plans or schemes employed with a specific purpose to manipulate or persuade you to do what the devil wants. Things that he's going to bring into our lives, situations, circumstances he's going to use to manipulate us for his purpose. And that almost always manifests in disunity, disunity and division. It manifests in deception. It manifests in disillusionment and misunderstanding God's heart and God's purposes. And Scripture says, be strong so that we can withstand those evil schemes of the wicked one. And then he carries on in verse 12. He says, for we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, powers, the rulers of darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. There's a wrestling. There's a real wrestling going on for us as Christians. There's a truth that we need to just get our minds onto the same page as God, that when we are Christians, everything doesn't suddenly become easy. It's not, I give my life to Jesus and I go to my bank account tomorrow and all of a sudden I've got a couple of extra noughts, you know, and I go to the parking lot and I push the button to unlock my car and all of a sudden it's transformed, you know, and I've fancy Volvo or BM or Porsche or whatever. It's still the same car with the same broken exhaust, the same fan belt that makes a noise, as some of the student cars tend to do. Still get the same flat tires. But all of a sudden this magic potion. On the contrary, now where I used to just be driving and everything was fine, now as I'm driving, there's actually a couple of people who are trying to purposefully drive me off the road. Not only am I driving the same old car, and yes, there's God's provision, yes, there's God's grace, yes, He provides overabundantly. Yes, He takes my scrapyard car and He creates and He opens doors and opportunities. And He just, not because I deserve it, it's because of His grace, He gives me a new car. There's that element to God. But there's also the element of God where I keep driving my old car. And now, there's actually somebody who's not so happy that I'm driving this car with a purpose. That I'm driving this car to achieve that which is of God and for God and His kingdom. And that's what He says there. We do not wrestle against flesh and blood. There's a fight going on. There's a wrestling match all the time. You know, Julius isn't the only one in the struggle. You know? And as we're struggling, there's a specific purpose to our struggle. Our struggle is to bring to pass the purpose of the kingdom of God. But struggle involves many things. Wish we had time. I really encourage you, if you can, get the first service off the internet. That struggle is about the souls of people. Your soul and my soul. Believers and unbelievers. Whole people and people who aren't so whole. There's a wrestling going on for the hearts and the souls of the people of God and the people who aren't yet the people of God. And God calls us as Christians to step into that place of authority where we begin to speak and we begin to wrestle with powers and principalities. Not out of our own strength, not out of our own ability. Not just because we feel like playing Rambo games, but because we pray and we feel God leading us in a direction. And we begin to address those powers and those principalities that He speaks about. Don't have time to, I wish I could explain how they manifest and what they look like. But it's a reality for each one of us. And then he says in verse 13, therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. There's a reason why we put on the armor. Just like there's a reason we must stand and be strong in His might, there's a reason why we put on armor. There's a reason and a purpose why we need armor to walk around with day to day. There's a purpose and a reason why Paul writes at the end of Ephesians, after he's just gone through the whole process, he starts in Ephesians about being seated in righteousness with God. Who we are in Christ, who He has called to. We are saved by grace through faith. And then he carries on in the book of Ephesians and he starts speaking about walking. He says, for God has prepared for each one of us good works beforehand that we should walk in them. The place of being obedient and bringing forth the purposes of God. And then he finishes with standing. Standing on the authority that God has given you and me as believers. Standing in the position, standing in the calling. And it's so sad to me today, if we look at the church and Christians today, how few Christians can stand. We fall this way and that way, links and rechts, and we follow after everything. Someone once said, you know, we fall for everything and stand for nothing. And God says, be strong because of this wrestling, this war that's going on. Because of that, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. And we'll look at that just now. Interesting, he says, put on the whole armor. Not a part of the armor, the whole armor. Some Christians are so content having their little piece of their armor and they're polishing it all the time and they're only focusing on that one piece of armor. But yet Paul says, no, no, no. It's great having one really strong piece of armor. You can have that little piece of armor here, but the bullet isn't always going to hit here. I was saying in the first service, I read in the week of thing that was a policeman in Britain who happened to have his radio, you know, his police radio in his jacket pocket. And some guy fired at him and the bullet happened to hit the radio in his jacket pocket. Probably saved his life, or at least saved him from a serious wound. And sometimes as Christians we like that. The enemy fires and we happen to have the armor in the right place. But it's important that we grow in maturity and we put on the whole armor. It says that, not neglecting anything. And then the purpose. Why the armor? So we can stand. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. Therefore, in verse 13, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore. I think Paul's trying to say something to the church in Ephesus here. Guys, learn to stand. Do not be swayed to and fro by, you know, stupid, small-minded things. It's amazing how many Christians get swayed by trivial, petty things. My shoelace broke, now I can't serve God anymore. You know, and God is just looking at that and He's saying, I'll read it just now, but just come to a little bit of place of maturity where you understand your shoelace doesn't determine whether you're following God or not. There's a place where we grow up and you know what you do when your shoelace breaks? You get a new shoelace. And life goes on and everyone's happy. But so many Christians are so focused on these wiles that the enemy brings, these schemes that the enemies bring, derail us so easily. God calls us to stability in Him. I don't believe God is much into breakfast Christians. You know, fruits and nuts and flakes and all those type of stuff. God wants us to have stability in our walk. Ephesians 4 says, He Himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors, teachers, for the equipping of the saints for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come to the unity of the faith and of a knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of men in the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love, may grow up in all things into Him who is the head. You know, some Christians today are still wondering where the church is of God. Is church leadership of God? Must I have somebody who can speak into my life? And they're falling left and right, yen and veer. Scripture says so clearly that those people have been given He himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. And for a whole bunch of reasons, one of those reasons is that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the trickery of many and cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting. We should come to a place of stability in our walk with God. Not a place where we close off the Holy Spirit, not a place where we're not growing anymore, but a place where we're rooted and grounded in love. Where when the enemy comes and situations come and circumstances come, our faith doesn't get all of a sudden, does God still live? One of the reasons why God would have us be in church. And then, just maybe for someone a word here, verse 15, but speaking the truth in love, you know what God wants you to do? Grow up in all things. Some of us as Christians, God is just calling us to move away from the pettiness of childhood. You know when you're a little child, we've got a whole bunch of little child and children in my world now. You know, my kid's growing up. She can't talk yet, but she's getting there. She's singing these beautiful songs, which is even cuter than sing. When you put music on, the feet start going like this. You know, so Janet and I have decided we're going to call her Happy Feet now. No, because her feet, they're always moving a little bit, whatever, but then something with the beat happens, and then the feet start going like this. In other words, we've got a whole bunch of little kids around us, and yesterday we were at Andre, and I was just leaving to go home, and Andre walks out, just happens, is he here? So he happens to be walking out with his daughter's little sheep thing. You know, so he's got this little sheep under his arm, and he's walking out to the sheep. Don't know why he's got the little fluffy sheep under his arm, but anyway. And he walks out the door, and as he walks out the door, we hear someone inside scream, Maina! Maina! Now he can't walk me to the car now because he's got the fluffy sheep. So he must first walk in and give the fluffy sheep back to her, and then he can walk out again. And that's cute for a little child, but there's a place where we grow up beyond that. Where we come to a place where we understand, Maina, Maina, you know, you look after it and you'll bring it back a little bit later. And God wants some of us in Christ to grow up to a place of authority and maturity. And I just say this straight. Speaking the truth in love, we may grow up in all things into Him who is the head, Christ. Maybe that's a word for somebody here. Then I spend time going through the different elements. How do we put on this armor? Because something that grates me, and I hear it from time to time, is someone will be praying in the morning, and they'll wake up and they'll pray and they say, God, now we put on the armor. God, I put on the girdle of truth, Lord, and the breastplate of righteousness. God, I clothe my feet with the preparation of the gospel, Lord God. And then I take up my shield of faith and the sword of the Spirit, and now I'm ready for the day. And yes, there's a place to pray that. There's a place to pray through Ephesians chapter 6. But that's not how you put on the armor in Ephesians chapter 6. You put on the armor of Ephesians chapter 6 by making those elements that Paul writes about here fundamental to your life. Day-to-day outflow of who I am. The first one he speaks about is truth. You know, you're a truthful person, not only in your speech, but in your heart. Do you know truth? Are you able to discern truth? Obviously for that you need a good understanding of Scripture and time in the Word. It says, therefore, this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, 1 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4, who desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. 1 Timothy 3, we see that the church is the pillar and the ground of the truth. You and I must be well rooted in Scripture, well grounded in Scripture. The church is you and it's me. It's not this building, it's not any stuff here, it's you and me. For the church to be the pillar of the truth, you know what that means? You and I must be pillars of truth. We must have truth manifest in our life. We must have truth built into our lives. Bible school isn't a nice to have. Bible school is a reasonable necessity for you to follow Christ. To have a good understanding of Scripture. And I want to really encourage some of you to strongly consider doing Bible school next year. One evening a week for the year. Change your life. Tuesday evenings we normally do it on. As is your personal Bible study time. Time you and the Word and the Holy Spirit and you're studying Scripture. and you're learning and you're growing and you're becoming a person of truth. Speaking the truth, obviously. The second one is the breastplate of righteousness. What is the breastplate of righteousness? Well, the truth, the girdle is the belt. It's around the middle. It keeps everything up that needs to be up. But it's not there for everybody necessarily to see. But the breastplate is out there where everyone can see it. It speaks about our works of righteousness. It speaks about the deeds that we do. I'm not going to go into all the scriptures just for lack of time. But you and I don't have righteousness. How much does that suck? You know? There's nothing that we can do to be righteous, to look pretty in the eyes of God. Except that He says, can we have the second verse up there? 2 Corinthians, for God made Jesus, who knew no sin, to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in Him. The world tells us doing right will lead to becoming right. Scripture says being right will lead to doing right. You and I are right if we are in relationship with Jesus. He has made us right. That's what that says, 2 Corinthians 5. He has become our righteousness. We are righteous because of the cross of Christ. And because we are righteous, the outflow should be righteous acts and righteous deeds. We can do as many righteous acts and righteous deeds as we want. It's never going to make us righteous. But because we are right, the outflow should be righteous acts and righteous deeds. Righteousness. Do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin. Present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Your members as instruments of righteousness to God. Must put on the shoes of the preparation of the gospel of peace. It speaks about a willingness and an obedience, an alertness. When the Holy Spirit prompts you, you're ready to go. You're ready in the sense that your heart is ready, but you're ready in the sense that you've prepared yourself to go. God, where are you sending me? God, how must I prepare for what you want to do with me? I want to commend those of you who are still students and encourage you in this. Pray that prayer often. God, you're preparing me for something, and for the rest of us, God is always preparing us all the time. God, what are you preparing me for? Or even more, God, how must I prepare? God, this makes absolutely no sense why I must take this subject. It doesn't fit in at all to anything that I'm doing. But for some reason, God, you're saying I must do this, so I'll take this course. Extra credits, don't really want it, don't have the time, God, but I'm preparing myself. Preparedness for the gospel of peace. The gospel is just the good news. Same word as evangelion. You know, Paul writes to Timothy and he says, be watchful in all things, endure afflictions, do the work of an evangelist. He's not an evangelist. He's a pastor of a big church, but he says, Paul writes to him and says, do the work as if you were an evangelist. Make sure that the people around you know about the truth of the cross of Christ. Evangelist comes from the Greek evangelion, which just means good news. Gospel. Same word. The good news of Christ. Take up the shield of faith. A couple of weeks ago when I spoke about God's promises, I spoke about this in quite a bit of length, so I'm not going to speak about it too much now, except to say that you and I will always be people of faith. Our walk with Christ will always be a walk of faith. We can't get away from that. I don't want to get away from that, but it will always be a work of faith. Beware of people who come and try and be clever as Christians. Unbelieving believers. You know, they use big words and say, no, they're incredulous, you know, whatever they want to be. No, you're an unbeliever. I'm a believer. There's a difference between us. I believe in the truth of Scripture. You question the truth of Scripture. You're allowed to, you're welcome to. But don't expect me to question what I know to be true from the Word. I'm a believer. I'm walking in faith. 1 John 5. Whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is the victory that has overcome the world. Our faith. Just some encouragement from verse 16. Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. The great encouragement is there will be lots of fiery darts of the wicked one. Be prepared for that. Don't be thrown. Don't think that Jesus has now forsaken you because there's a fiery dart of the wicked one. Take up the shield of faith and say, God, I don't quite get what this fiery dart is meant to do now, but I know you're bigger and you're greater, God. I don't know where these flames come from, God. I don't know why there's chaos, but God, you are greater. You are able, Lord, and that's what I hold on to. There's nothing my God cannot do. as we sang just now. Let's be believing believers. Really just make that just a cornerstone of our faith. The fifth one is the helmet of salvation. Protect our heads, protect our minds, protect our thoughts. And probably the most important one of the lot, the one around your heart and the one around your head. I was saying in the first service, the vast majority of counseling that I do, in a counseling sense, I do a lot of kind of just encouraging people and helping people make decisions. But like counseling, when people come with issues, it's because somewhere down the line they've begun to believe the truth that Jesus hasn't saved them. That they've done something that now disqualifies them from being saved. And then I just ask them very simply, well, what did you do to be qualified to be saved in the first place? How did you qualify for salvation? No, I didn't. It was a gift. So how can you disqualify something that you were never qualified for in the first place? It's a gift. God gave it to you. All you need to do is accept it and take it and say, Jesus, you died for me. I was meant to. You died. Pretty good deal. You know? I get life out of your death. I can't earn it. I can't deserve it. So I can't disqualify myself from it either. Place that helmet around your mind. Romans 8 says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. If children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with Him, that we also may be glorified together. The sixth one is the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Once again, just the importance of understanding and knowing the Word of God. Because yes, we can use the sword to deflect blows from the enemy. But at the same time, we can use the sword to advance the kingdom of God. We can use the sword to inflict blows, not just deflect them. We can use the sword, the Word of God, which He places in our spirit, and we speak through our mouth, like we do on times when we come together and pray, and First Monday prayer, in those moments, we speak the Word of God. We give utterance to what He is saying. The sword of the Spirit gets moved in that sense. And then, just tying into that, not forgetting prayer. He says, take up this whole armor of God, not by praying a prayer about it, but making it part of your lifestyle, who you are. Having this armor in our lives. Because we need it because of this battle and the wrestle that's going on. And then once you've got that, don't forget to pray. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. I love how he says there, don't spend all the time praying for yourself. Yes, pray for yourself too. But pray for all the saints. Every believer. And I love Paul's humility in asking for prayer. I'm still amazed when we go to Christians and you ask them, can I pray for you for something? No, I'm okay. Paul understands, no, pray for me. But not so much for me, but pray for the work that God is doing through me. Because God has got a plan with me and God has got a calling and I'm busy doing stuff because I know God's speaking. Pray for that. And that's what he carries on to say here. Keep praying for me. Pray for all the saints. And pray for me. Should be a cornerstone as a part of our lives. And thanks to everyone who was at prayer on Monday night. And I know many of the district have prayer meetings in the next couple of weeks. Go to those prayer meetings. Take time and come together in corporate prayer. Praying for all the saints. Wrestling with powers and principalities. Advancing the kingdom of God. And then in summary, I just want to read us the same passage from Ephesians. How was that for the fastest sermon on the face of this planet? Ephesians 6. And that about wraps it up. God is strong and He wants you strong. So take everything the Master has set out for you, well-made weapons of the best materials, and put them to use so you'll be able to stand up to everything the devil throws your way. This is no afternoon athletic contest that you'll walk away from and forget about in a couple of hours. This is for keeps, a life or death fight to the finish against the devil and all his angels. Be prepared. You're up against far more than you can handle on your own. Take all the help you can get, every weapon God has issued, so that when it's over but the shouting, you'll still be on your feet. Truth, righteousness, peace, faith, and salvation are more than words. Learn how to apply them. You'll need them throughout your life. God's word is an indispensable weapon. In the same way, prayer is essential in this ongoing warfare. Pray hard and long. Pray for your brothers and sisters. Keep your eyes open. Keep each other's spirits up, so that no one falls behind or drops out. And don't forget to pray for me. Pray that I'll know what to say and have the courage to say it at the right time, telling the mystery to one and all, the message that I, jailbird preacher that I am responsible for getting out. Can we stand this evening? Father, I want to thank you for your word which invigorates and encourages us. Your word which strengthens us, Lord. God, I thank you that even this evening, God, your word is almost brief as it was, Lord, is still powerful, God. That your word isn't limited, Lord. And I pray, Holy Spirit, that you will breathe over your word in our hearts and our lives, God. That you would sharpen that sword for each one of us, God. And Lord, I pray for everyone here that even as you've been speaking throughout this whole evening, God, just personally into our hearts and our minds, Lord, or even through the ministry this evening, God. Lord, that we would be obedient to the way you lead us. Lord, I pray for a growth and a knowledge of the truth in everyone, Lord. That we would grow in that which is of you, by you, from you, through you, that which is scriptural and biblical, God. Because Jesus, you are the way, the truth, and the life. Lord, in the same way, God, that we would have the breastplate of righteousness, Lord. That the righteousness of Christ, God, we would wear and we would live it out practically, Lord. Lord, that we would have our feet ready wherever you lead us, whenever, however. That we would be prepared, ready to go at your bidding. Lord, for the helmet of salvation. God, I pray for everyone's hearts and our minds especially, God. That you would keep our minds from everything that would bring destruction to the work that you are doing, God. Everything that would bring confusion and lead us away from you. That you would keep our minds stayed on you, God. Our minds meditating on that which is true and noble and good, Lord. Lord, that we take up the shield of faith, God, that we would increase our faith. Lord, that we would have an increasing and growing revelation of your greatness and your goodness, Lord God, towards us. And the shield of faith. Oh, sorry, the sword of the Spirit, Lord. Lord, that we would all be learned swordsmen, God. Gifted swordsmen. With our swords ready to do your bidding whenever you will speak, God. And Lord, I thank you for this time this evening, God. Thank you for time well spent.